He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday, August 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And looks like we're off to a bit of a slow start in the market. We've got after all-time highs in the S&P 500 yesterday, topping 6,500. We're now down to 6,455. That's down 46 points or 0.72% at the moment. We've got the NASDAQ down 242 points. That's down 1.17%. And we've got the Dow, I guess, leading the way, even though it's in the red as well, down 236 points. It's just over 0.5% down. And we've got gold, the only thing green on my screen here at the moment, up $12. That's 0.37% to $3,430. And gold continues its tear as of late. And we've got Bitcoin. Kind of a negative day for risk assets, it looks like, down to 108,683. That's down about almost 4,000 points today. That's down 3.47%. But again, good morning and welcome to the Friday, August 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm your host, Barry Kite, filling in for Bill today, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital. And also, as usual, excited to have Jeff Webster joining me on the show today. Jeff's a advisor, vice president here at Gunderson Capital. And how's it going? Getting ramped up for Labor Day weekend, Jeff?
We are getting ready to head out west and spend a couple of days with family up in the Yellowstone area. I know Bill today is on his way to San Diego. He and his wife are going to be attending a funeral of a friend, I guess, on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so they're heading out there.
At the Del Mar racetrack. So it's pretty interesting that, you know, I guess you'd call that, I was trying to figure out if it was going to be a funeral or a celebration of life if you're doing it at the racetrack. But I know that it's somebody that they've had a relationship with for years, and I think they're, you know, they're going to get a couple of Padres games in too while they're out there. So, you know, well deserved break there for them. And of course, you know, today is the last trading day of August. We're kind of leading us into to Labor Day weekend. I guess, you know, the summer's officially over. We got to put all our white back up or something in terms of, you know, after Labor Day. Or can we wear, yeah, we can't.
That's
wear
right.
White after Labor Day, right?
No more white shoes, Barry. You have to put up your white bucks.
Yeah, I don't think, me and white clothes don't go very well. I tend to get some stuff on them here and there.
So. Bill will have to hang up his, he's got a good-looking seersucker suit that he'll stow away until May of next year, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he can get it. I guess if he takes it with him to the racetrack, it'll still work for up until Monday. So, little fashion advice here this morning too on the Best Stocks Now show. But of course, you know, like I said, it. Kind of expect the markets to be a bit sluggish today. Historically, you know, this is a kind of a time where, you know, you tend to not have much volume. That's why, you know, kind of the NASDAQ down over 1% today isn't, you know, very concerning to me when I look at it, because, you know, likely volumes are going to be pretty low. You get a lot of, you know, traders heading to the Hamptons, right, trying to get their, I guess, using, you know, wear their seersucker one last time. And
that's right.
And so, of course, you know, yesterday, obviously markets down today, but yesterday S&P closed at another all-time high. Well, it was over 6,500. I don't think that number's been hit before. So all three indices were actually up yesterday with the NASDAQ leading the way. Of course, we had NVIDIA report after the close on Wednesday. So Mostly a quiet week, just you know, didn't have much volume in the first 3 days of this week, kind of waiting for that NVIDIA report. And then, you know, the NVIDIA report mostly came in line. I think what the stock was down maybe a little over 0.5% yesterday. A lot of the AI, ancillary AI companies actually, you know, benefited, seemed to get much more of a pop than NVIDIA did, but, we'll dive into those earnings a bit later in the show. Jeff's got some stuff for us on the tech side. Of course, yesterday, well, you had the S&P passed the 6,500 mark. We had the NASDAQ up about 0.5% yesterday. S&P was up 0.3%, and the Dow was up 0.1. Looks like, you know, still have a good bit of breath in the market, it seems. We had 7 out of 11 S&P segments were up. And we got an interesting GDP report yesterday. We had it was revised higher to 3.3%. You know, in terms of, you know, economic growth, you know, still solid growth for the U.S. economy at 3.3%. Certainly when you compare it to some of the numbers that we got out of Europe and Canada this morning, and we'll dive into those a little bit later. But, you know, overall, you know, you still continuing to see expansion on the economy, you know, economy side. Earnings have been good this earnings season, and you've got some data that we'll hit on that here in a little while in terms of, you know, the entire earnings season. I guess we can get close to putting a bow on it right now that that NVIDIA reported. So,
I think 90% of the S&P 500 companies have reported as of today. So there's a few more stragglers that will come in.
Yeah, those retailers.
For the most part, yep.
Yeah, it tends to be
the most part we're wrapped.
Yeah, those retailers are interesting because, you know, they've got to do a lot of physical counts, counting inventory, right? And so they tend to be one of those late reporters. I always want to go back in time and figure out, you know, why NVIDIA tends to be as late as they are. Of course, you know, nowadays it's, I guess, you know, we want to save the best for last, but, you know, it's interesting to see I need to go back and figure out how did they end up at the end of the list here at some point.
But, yep. Yeah. And to your point, those retailers typically their fiscal year is staggered by a month. So most retailers are wrapping, their fiscal year at the end of January. You know, so to your point, they can do all their inventories and tally all their, you know, holiday sales and things of that nature. And so that's why we see them as laggards as it relates to reporting.
Yeah, and waiting for us to return all our stuff, I guess, that we want to, you know, all the ugly ties and other things that we want to take back after the Christmas season. So,
or the white bucks that we got just for summer, Barry, and that we decided we don't need them for the winter, right?
Yeah, we just got to keep them clean and keep them fresh so you can get those back get those things back into circulation, right? Well, we had had initial jobless claims yesterday. You know, like I said, from an economic standpoint, pretty strong GDP figures. You know, jobless claims actually fell this past week. They came in at 229,000 versus 231,000 that was expected. Moving average is now around 228, as we kind of allude to a good bit is. You know, you really got to see those jobless claims in that 300,000 range before, you know, you really get, you know, worried about employment in the U.S. And I do think it's worth noting that continuing claims actually dropped. We've seen continuing claims kind of continue to be a little bit stubborn and continue to kind of rise a little bit. So it was nice to see that number go to 1.954, was expected to be 1.97 million. So, you know, the fact is, when folks are losing their job, they've been kind of on the sidelines a little bit longer, than maybe, we've seen in the last, you know, handful of years, particularly since COVID. And so, that was, you know, another positive kind of, reading yesterday in terms of the job figures. Of course, we got some housing data that Bill mentioned a little bit on the show yesterday. It was kind of a mixed bag there. And we had the pending home sales came in weaker than expected in July. I think they were down about 0.4%. But on the other end, you actually had mortgage rates, and we've been talking about mortgage rates a good bit lately. Actually, they hit a 10-month low. So if you're in the market for a mortgage, maybe timing's getting a little better over time. It was a 30-year fixed rate average 6.56%. And that's, compared to higher than a year ago, it was about 6.35%, but certainly a lot lower than the 7% that we saw early this year. But, we're just getting started on this day before Labor Day edition of the Best Docs Now show, and Jeff and I will be right back. Welcome back here to the Friday, August 29th edition of the Best Docs Now show. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, taking the wheel for Bill today. And, of course, we've got Jeff Webster joining us on the show, advisor here at Gunderson Capital. And looks like we've got the markets down a little bit off the lows from when we started the show. We've got NASDAQ's down about just over 1%. We've got the S&P down about 0.68% and Dow down about 0.4%. Gold still the only positive thing, at least on my screen in front here. We got a couple of weeks, I guess, we'll be headed out to the Bay Area. I always think of the Led Zeppelin song, Going to California, hopping on the big jet plane. Staying at the Santa Clara Marriott on, I think that's Tuesday, September 16th through Thursday, September 18th. Bill will, of course, be doing the workshop on Tuesday evening. Edie is, got an update from her yesterday. She's opened up Thursday for appointments, given some overwhelming demand. So that's always nice. We've got, I guess as Bill says, give the people what they want. So be sure to give Edie a call to book. You can give her a ring at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And looking forward to getting out that way. It should be that's part of California I haven't been to. Certainly been to San Francisco, kind of the Oakland area, and a little more of Northern California, but hadn't made it to Sacramento before, but never made it over to the real heart of Silicon Valley and in the San Jose area. So a little tricky getting those flights over there, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be great. When I was with SAP, I spent a lot of time in that area. So it's a terrific area. It's vibrant with all the companies and things going on in the area. And I think we're going to enjoy it as a team. We look forward to, meeting with, our strong following of listeners out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, too. I know Bill mentions as we're driving by, through the area, it's like, see all the names that we've held or hold in our portfolios across the way. So it'll be it almost has a little bit of a sports theme to it in terms of seeing your players out there, as Bill always alludes to, being a baseball team or a football team, having not just offense but defense on the field. And so of course we kick off some college football this weekend, so that'll be a big start. We'll see. Hopes and dreams of people's teams will be either some will be made and lost on the first day. So we'll see what happens. But certainly kind of a bit of a vibrant vibe around around our household with you know, three boys in the mix, so getting ramped up for that, and so it should be a pretty interesting looking forward to it.
And you're a Seminoles guy, right, Barry?
Yeah, so I was actually born in Mobile, Alabama, so a lot of my family, you know, were certainly Alabama fans, and so Florida State plays has the pleasure of playing Alabama with the first game of the year. I don't know if that's a great idea, but we'll see what happens. It will be in Tallahassee, and coming off of pretty much the worst year ever that I can remember for Florida State. So we'll see how it kicks off. We started off with a loss last year, so we'll see if we start off with one this year. But
Bill, of course, is a San Diego State Aztecs with Eric Coryell.
Yes,
you know, that's where he got his whole concept of momentum and, you know, momentum investing and stuff like that. And of course, my allegiance is with University of Southern California Trojans.
Yeah, what we call around here in our household, the real USC. No offense to University of South Carolina, which is only about an hour and 15 minutes from us, but you know, growing up, the USC was always University of Southern California. So the Trojans, and they got a lot more trophies than South Carolina does here. But should be an interesting one. Kind of I certainly don't follow it as much. I usually get surprised. You know, it's like I tell my kids, they're always reading off, you know, do you know so and so's name or whatever? And I'm like, you know, I only know only first few games. I only know numbers. You know, it's like, oh, I like number 11 or number, you know. And then eventually, it's like, you know, they make a name for themselves, and I end up knowing their name. But yeah, early on, it's, well, you know, who's number 55? And they, you know, and thankfully they know everyone now. So I use them as my they're my research when it comes to. When it comes to certainly college sports, where you got so much turnover nowadays, it's hard to keep up from one place to the other.
Yeah, well, what's the story with inflation out there right now, Barry?
Yeah, well, I mean, the interesting thing. So we had, you know, PCE figures came in today. The PCE inflation index is the index that the Fed pays the most attention to when it comes to inflation. And interesting enough, I thought it was going to be a story, and it's a non-event. Everything came in, literally every number came in as expected on the inflation side. So we've got, a report that tends to move the markets doesn't at all. It's PCE is an interesting report because you get all this other data, and then you can put that data into, you know, comes out first, and then you can put that into a model. And so the PCE ends up being one of the best, I wouldn't say easy, but one of the, you know, come up with the best estimate, right? So estimates tend to not vary too much on the PCE side. So they were able to, apparently somebody's spreadsheet crunched the numbers perfectly, and, you know, literally everything came in line there, which is why we haven't seen, you know, certainly much movement in the Treasury markets today. I was looking at the Treasuries, and you know, nothing has moved more than 0.1%. Everything's like, you know, three decimal places out. The 10-year, for example, was I think it's down. Maybe actually it's up 0.025%. So that's 2.5 basis points, which in bond world is not much of a move. The other biggest news, really, I guess, is this. You know, in terms of the Fed, and we'll probably. It'll probably bleed into the next segment, but we've got, of course, the Trump administration, you know, working to fire Lisa Cook. She had the mortgage application issues. I think that's in front of a court as we speak right now. So it'll be interesting if we get any information from that before the end of the show. But I've got my eye on it, and we'll see what happens there. But we're blazing through the first half of the Best Stocks Now show, and we'll be back for the third quarter. Stay with us.
and I wonder what's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Friday, August 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, serving as relief captain for Bill this morning as he makes his way out to the West Coast. And we've also got, as usual, we got Jeff Webster joining us on the show, advisor here at the firm. And if you want to stay up to date with Bill's thoughts on the markets, get Bill's weekly newsletter. You can always go to GundersonCapital.com, sign up for that 4-week trial where you'll get kind of the whole shebang in terms of newsletter, some of the live trading alerts that Bill sends out. He just saw one come across at the break in regards to Alibaba. BABA is the symbol there. Of course, they had some news where they've developed an AI chip to kind of help fill some of the void that NVIDIA is basically not that they're not allowed, but they're China's been asked their folks not to purchase H20 chips, which. You know, if I was a business leader in China, I'd probably listen. By the way, you don't want to get disappeared like
Jack Ma. Did Alibaba report, Barry, here today this morning? I think maybe they did. I'm looking at something here that shows that they missed slightly, but they're, I think, on this other news that you just mentioned. They've got a nice uptick, but I'm just taking a peek here.
Yeah, I saw that. Like I said, I saw his note. I saw that they were up around 10% earlier today. And, yeah, and it looks like, they reported earnings. They kind of missed on revenue a little bit. I think they missed on earnings per share as well slightly. But I think that story where, Alibaba – it's going to develop new AI chip to help fill NVIDIA's, basically absence or void in the Chinese market. So pretty interesting on that front. Like I said, that was one of Bill's live trading emails that just popped into the mix here, in the last 10 minutes when I looked at it at the break. So if you'd like to, get that, go to GundersonCapital.com or if you want to have a discussion with Jeff or myself in regards to your portfolio allocation or planning situation, always feel free to give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378, and Edie will get you set up on our calendar. And always enjoy talking to folks and seeing how they're positioned. Well, market-wise, finally down under 1% now for the NASDAQ. So numbers are getting slightly better each time we go to the break here. Like I said, kind of expected to be somewhat of a quiet day in terms of volumes. Not a quiet day, as we mentioned, and right now, I think as it's going on, I didn't see any new news, but looks like you've got Lisa Cook hearing. She's the Fed governor, as we all know by now. That's administration's fired. Is she fired? Is she not? We don't know. She says she's not leaving. Got to go to court today and figure out where we're on that, and likely going to end up in front of the Supreme Court at some point. So not a legal expert, but that's kind of the going
rate. A bit of a distraction, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, disclosure, right? I mean, our business is built on disclosure. And so,
yep.
you know, the fact is, if you're, you know, especially if you're in a person in her situation and you're, you know, have multiple mortgages, well, you know, if you've got three houses, only one can qualify. I mean, by definition, only one qualifies as your primary residence. So whether it's, you know, she said clerical error, also heard somebody today said there's no harm in it, right? And I'm like, well, the harm is the fact that, you know, an interest rate, you know, that some bank is going to charge on a second home is going to be a higher rate than someone's going to charge on your primary residence, right? And so, you know, I mean, is, you know, someone was harmed in terms of, you know, she likely should have been paying a higher rate compared to, you know, whatever loan she got. You know, yeah. is it the worst thing in the world? I don't know, but when you're in that kind of position and, you know, you hear about disclosure all the time, then, you know, in my book, it is something that, you know, you've put yourself in a position to where, you know, this could happen, put it that way. Going from removing one Fed member and adding another, it looks like the U.S. Senate is gonna, you know, there's highly likely to confirm Stephen Marin in time for the September 16th, 17th Fed meeting. He's going to be replacing Kugler, who stepped down, I don't know, probably about a month or two ago now. So that confirmation is kind of looks to be on track. The interesting thing on, you know, on Cook is she's one of the more dovish members, right, of the committee. So she, you know, there's a highly likelihood that she would vote, you know, towards, you know, kind of, you know, reducing rates by 0.25% at this next meeting. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic where the chances are that she may have actually voted for a cut. Yeah. But, as we sit right now, we've got about an 85% probability. The market's pricing in a 25 basis point cut in September. And then the last piece of kind of Fed speak that we'll cover today is we've had heard from Fed Governor Christopher Waller yesterday. He had some remarks in a speech he was doing in Miami. He seems to be, to me, he's campaigning to be, you know, to replace Powell in May of 2026. He's the one who's, you know, kind of dissented at the last meeting. You had Bowman dissent as well, but Waller was certainly the one that's been the most outspoken about it. And yesterday he mentioned the same thing. His quote was, "Let's get on with it." He said, "I felt this way in July, and all of the evidence since then has led me to feel more strongly about it today." And so, you know, as you kind of, you know, he's alluded to, you know, a handful of rate cuts really over kind of a 3 to 6 month period. So, if you had to guess or put your odds on somebody who may end up being, you know, the next Fed chairman, Waller's probably at the top of the list. He was also an appointee, by, Trump, I believe, during the first administration. So,
interesting.
He's been there a while. He's a pretty sharp fellow. All of those people in their own field are pretty sharp. You know, in terms of, from an economic standpoint, you know, I don't know what they know outside of their own discipline, but inside their discipline, they're pretty they're pretty locked in. But
it's super crazy, Barry. So as we talk about, you know, probabilities and percentages, I mean, it's interesting with earnings season winding down, 81 to 84%, depending on the organization reporting on it, 81 to 84% of the S&P 500 companies, met or beat their earnings expectations. You know, so you have, you know, FactSet, Zacks, Business Insider, Financial Times, all reporting. So their numbers vary slightly. So
depending on their estimates.
That's really good. Conversely, the NASDAQ 100, 58% of the companies exceeded both revenue and earnings expectations. So a little bit lower. But what's interesting, Barry, is that the beats were really strong. The average amount of exceeded earnings was 10.2% and 2.6% on revenues. So, I mean, it all goes to this philosophy of, you know, what are the best stocks now? Do I invest in a in an index that is all 100, or do I identify, you know, who are, you know, those 58 companies that are exceeding their expectations and that have better than average, you know, earnings and revenues? So again, I love some of the tools that we provide out there with Best Stocks Now, Bill's newsletter. These are all wonderful tools that, you know, can guide individuals and folks to, you know, making wise decisions as to who they should select.
Yeah. And that 10, I mean, when you say that 10.2% exceeded, you know, when the companies that were, you know, that did exceed their expectations, I mean, that's, you know, that flows right into, you know, next quarter potential earnings growth, right? And as Bill's mantra is, you know, stock prices follow earnings. So from that sense, we've got kind of set up well for Q3 and the remainder of the year in terms of fiscal year. But lots of good, you know, good earnings, and we've got a few things to talk about on the technical technology companies that reported, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of today's August 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital, wrapping things up for Bill this week. And we've got Jeff Webster joining me on the show. He's going to get into a few of these tech earnings that we had this week in a minute. As we said earlier, if you know, we're going to be out at the Santa Clara Marriott in around San Jose in the Bay Area. And we'll be there on Tuesday the 16th, Wednesday the 17th, and Thursday the 18th. Feel free to give Edie a ring. She'll get you set up. She's the queen of the schedule. 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And Bill will be doing one of his workshops too on Tuesday evening, so you get to kind of pick his brain, and he, you know, he whatever's in his head, he lays it out on the table, right, Jeff?
That's right.
So we'll get I'm sure we'll have an Air Coryell reference in the mix. So
tell you what. a horse analogy, and probably a Padre euphemism or two, right?
Yeah, you'll get the whole you get the whole gambit of sports related experiences that kind of have shaped Bill's investment philosophy over the years. I will tell you, I saw, you know, concerning talking about earnings, I just happened to see this as we were I think a couple came out around 10:30 this morning, but while we were in a break in the show, Supermicro Computers got a dip in pretty, I think they're down close to 5% at the moment. They just, you know, they've had that, you know, those concerns about their financial numbers. Remember they fired an auditor? Yeah, they fired an accounting auditor a while back. And just, you know, when you see these names, when you see these kind of comments, makes me a little scared. I mean, you've got, it says it hampers their controls and financial disclosures hamper their ability to report results in a timely and accurate manner. Timely is one thing; accurate's an even worse thing. They mentioned that we have identified material weaknesses in our internal control over financial reporting, which could, if not remediated, adversely affect our ability to report our financial condition and results of operations in a timely and accurate manner. I mean, my only thought is, you need to remediate it. It's time to, I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the issue? Are you covering up something? I mean, it's not like, I mean, it can't be a software issue that's lasted this long. I don't know. It's just when you see these.
I'd hate to be the CFO or the CEO that had to, you know, report on that statement.
Or the investor relations people, right? I mean, those, you know, they're probably getting calls over and over again. I don't know. It's just when I see that kind of stuff, and red flags go off, you know, left and right, which is why, you know, the stock's down 5%. Of course, you know, we had Marvell report as well. They're getting, you know, pretty much getting hammered. And to me, that's one of these earnings games where, you know, should they be getting hit as much as they were? I went look through their earnings, Jeff. They're down 17% today. And essentially, you know, most of their stuff basically came in line. So they're, you know, I think they're, if I'm not mistaken, their earnings came in exactly in line. I think
they projected 2.06 billion. And the analysts were looking for $2.11 billion. So a little short there. Again, I think they're getting hurt on their outlook.
Yeah.
You know, they basically are a little squeamish on their output, their outlook. They're also seeing some significant competitive pressures in that AI market space.
Right.
From Amazon to, you know, there's a Taiwanese rival chip company called A1 Chip that is a substantial competitive threat to them. And I think those are the elements that, you know, are hurting them.
Yeah.
And on the bright side, you know, we you know, everything gets a little overshadowed on reporting day for NVIDIA, but we had a couple of companies that were keen on with CrowdStrike and Snowflake reporting.
Yeah.
CrowdStrike, you know, they beat their estimates. You know, their revenue was slightly above their consensus. Their annual recurring revenue, Barry, when we talk about annual recurring revenue, this is a revenue stream that, you know, they sign these contracts, and this is, you know, momentum that you build on that recurring revenue that's coming in. So it grew 20% year over year to $4.66 billion. You know, there's a, you know, a metric that you have to take into account, that's retention, but a good percentage of that is, you know, money that's going to, you know, carry forward, into, you know, subsequent quarters and years. So they did well there. I think, again, a little squeamish on guidance, that potentially, you know, hurt them a little bit. On the other hand, Snowflake, man, they
just blew it out.
Bombed it. They killed. Yeah, it was outstanding. They announced earnings per share of 35 cents. Well above the estimate of 27 cents. Their revenue was approximately $1.1 billion, beating expectations of $1.09 billion. They raised their Q3 revenue guidance, you know, so that shows well. And they upgraded their full-year product revenue outlook to $4.4 billion when they originally were looking at $4.33 billion. So
their sequential revenue
results there.
Yeah, and their sequential revenue was the largest sequential revenue they've had in history. So I think it was up $94 million quarter over quarter. So certainly, you know, although NVIDIA was fairly quiet yesterday, down about 0.5%, as Bill said in his note yesterday afternoon, it really drove the rest of the AI market yesterday and gave them a boost. So, well, it's we're wrapped up for the week here at Gunderson Capital. We wish everyone a great Labor Day weekend. If you've got any questions, want to give us a ring, 855-611-BEST, or you can go to GundersonCapital.com. But have a great, safe Labor Day weekend, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.